thank you, Cynthia, and Mark, who is one of the ones who herded the cats to get us all here, so thank you for that, Mark. And Mark is a senior research fellow at Tulane University Law School and director of the Institute on Water Resources Law and Policy. The mission of the Institute is to foster an appreciation of the importance of water resources and the vital roles that law and policy play in their management and stewardship. Mark is also the director of Tulane's Bywater Institute, which works to improve water stewardship and community vitality and resilience by engaging the full suite of skills and resources of the Tulane University family. So, Mark?
Well, thank you. It's great to be here yet again. Brenton, thank you for coming in. I got to say, you did exactly what I hoped you would do. You asked a couple of questions, Brenton. I had my hand up because I do think about displacement every day. Think about displacement for myself, my family. Think about it for my students. Think about it for the people I'm around. But more than that, I'm increasingly thinking about not who gets to leave, but who has to stay. Mm. I'm worried about who gets stranded and what happens with them. Because in some ways, New Orleans has had experience with stranded. When we became a city of roughly 400,000 people and then 250,000 people instead of a city of 650. We've already seen what happens when we lose the ability maintain the schools, the buildings, the plumbing. And I think there's much more of that in store. Today, there was the real estate firm Zilla, a national listing, released a report that looked at what they thought was going to happen in the next 100 years, and they estimate that across America and coastal areas in particular, nearly 2 million homes are going to be flooded, inundated. And that's rich homes, poor homes, and the middle homes. And in some places, it's 40% of the homes. New Orleans, because of our history, is the risk reduction system. It's projected to be less than 1%. But we all know that there's a lot behind that number. But the fact of the matter is that what we're talking about creating a viable, just New Orleans is going to be coming not only a national but an international conversation. And a question about what we're going to do about it, I think it goes to the heart of really what Jeff, in particular, Cynthia, were talking about. And Charles, we have plans. Good Lord, have we got plans. Good, and we have knowledge. We know how to build stuff. We know how to move people. We know how to do nearly everything that needs to be done. But the one thing we don't have is the will to do it. Mm-hmm. Whether that's local, national, or international, for that matter. And I think that when you think in terms of 2 million homes being inundated, that puts things in perspective. That I think we have to really start understanding Cynthia, I'm really disappointed that over 20 years you produced so little out of Washington when I was counting on you to do it. Well, I knew I couldn't do it, but I had great confidence when you stepped in. But the fact of the matter is, if we're waiting for the federal government to lead the way here, we're waiting for something that's not going to occur. It will play a role. But I think we have to look around the city and understand how we got to be a city of 650,000 people, how we became the economic center of the South for many, many years, the population center of the South for many, many years. And we did that by largely investing in ourselves. Oh, Lord, we had troubles. We were unjust. We did all sorts of things wrong. But what we didn't do wrong is invest in ourselves. The Sturgeon Water Board was created by us, funded by us. The initial levees on the Mississippi River were not built by the federal government, by what you might hear, we built them. The initial flood protection areas, they weren't really just levees, they were actually things we owned. We raised land, we reclaimed land from the lake, and we did that. Those are things we did because we thought it was worth doing. Sometimes we did it poorly, sometimes it was stupid things to do. But we didn't wait for somebody else to come and do it for us. And I think when we look at, you know, things like the Coastal Master Plan or, you know, the Changing Course, the competition, which I thought did a great job of bringing bold ideas to the table. None of them were brand new ideas, but they were recharacterized, they were revalidated, and they are essential in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, those levies that Zillow thinks we're protected by aren't going to provide what we want. Then we have to start asking ourselves, what are we willing to do? And I think it comes down to a handful of things. It comes down to governance. Do we have the ability to do it? I mean, quite frankly, for example, in New Orleans, we're about to elect a mayor and a city council that are going to be inheriting, you know, a mess. But part of the mess is because this city sinks. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but even though we have rhetorical plans, it is nobody's responsibility to manage subsidence in this city. It is no one's job to manage subsidence in this coast. It is nobody's job to understand it. And until you understand it and make it someone's responsibility, you should be no surprise when it doesn't happen, even though that is what drives most of your crumbling streets, the broken pipes, and a lot of your flooding in your homes. So if it's not your job to manage it, I suggest it's citizens' jobs to make it someone's job. That's the only reason we've got Coastal Master Plan, because at one point in the 1980s, citizens came together and said, a disappearing coast is not acceptable, and not only is it something that we should make someone's responsibility, we'll pay for it. We'll start paying for it. The other thing is, I think, related to that is civics, is that citizen action is the only thing that you can really count on. Governance follows citizens. And I think that that's what we really have to be working on, is in educating and empowering people to make the right choices. And as long as we keep electing people, whether it's local, city, or national, state, who believe that government is the problem, then government will never be part of your solution. If you elect people who believe that the worst thing you can do is increase or renew a tax, then you cannot do the things we're talking about. We just have to be very clear with what we expect. All right, right now we want more like my preacher friend said about his congregation. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to do any of the things necessary to get there. I think that is a critical piece, and I don't think we emphasize it nearly enough. And the third thing, which is related, is civility. There will be disagreements. If there are not disagreements, then we are not talking about anything that's worth doing. Conflict is a byproduct of many things, but it certainly is a byproduct of progress. How you manage conflict, how justly you manage it, I think is the indicator of really what kind of community you have. I think we have a long way to go before we're the community we want to be, but I think we're kidding ourselves if we think that we can get consensus or unanimity around any of these actions. I think we have to be willing to make decisions and then take responsibility for the consequences. And where there are unfair, unpredicted, the unknowns, take ownership. But I think the fundamental issue is that we have to establish a sense of value. Because right now, we talk about how wonderful wetlands and communities are, but we don't treat it that way. You know, if there's one thing that Louisiana, I think, demonstrates, and I think you kind of touched on it, Brandon, some of your friends certainly did, is that we are a state that has been blessed with untold wealth. And we're a state that has done a miserable job of appreciating value. Until we get that right, you know, for example, you mentioned your friend, your platform for Amazon. One of the reasons local governments have so little capacity to do things is the state issues tax exemptions to so many people that you essentially rob the tax base. Now, if that's what we as a people want to do, that's fine, but that's not a choice that we as a people are making. We need to make sure that we're matching every available resource to every available opportunity and problem. And then we'll have plenty of things to fill in. Charles, I don't know if you found the extra Bill Mason money yet. But I'll make you a promise. There's going to be less Go Mesa money in the future than we banked on in the past. Mm-hmm. And how do I know that? In part because Louisiana and this nation is betting that natural gas from fracking is going to be cheap enough to export. Mm-hmm. As long as that's mm-hmm. the dynamic, and that's what the whole Sasol plant that we paid them to build mm-hmm. is about. It's going to tell you that the price points for the Gulf of Mexico are not expected to get back where we need them to be if we wanted to deliver those dollars. So we've got to be honest with ourselves about the stories that we tell. And I think, I wouldn't live here if I were not hopeful. When I look at things like the Zillow study, I look at the cities that, quite frankly, are far more vulnerable. I realize that some places are going to have opportunities to adapt that others don't. I think New Orleans, Metro New Orleans, has an opportunity to adapt and reasons to do it that others don't have. Whether we go about that or not, that's the unknown.